howlive.org. On the same page, you will find a link to our meeting readings and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool or participate in any other way in the meeting's live chat. We do this in advance so that we can keep the meeting flowing smoothly. If you need technical help, there will be multiple coaching sessions Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time on this same meeting. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. We ask that if you do need to eat during the meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. For those in person, please take a moment to silence or turn off your cell phones and do not connect to the room's Wi-Fi. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Present.
Yay, welcome. The We Care folder will be circulating in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest for you to take names and phone numbers to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and mutual support are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How?
Okay, hi everybody. This is Rebecca B., compulsive eater in Ohio.
Hi, Rebecca, welcome.
Coming to you live from my office desk. Anyway, I'm glad I can make it. What is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. I pass.
Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hello, this is Tamara, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Thank you. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements, in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions, inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the OA concept to be effective in working the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not be exclude any compulsive overeaters from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Pass.
Thanks, Tamara. Would someone please read the how concept?
Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute, and then only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and the love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and taking the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thanks, Kelly.
You're welcome.
Would someone please read Reflections for the Newcomer?
Good evening, everybody. Elizabeth P. calling in from Delaware.
Hi, Liz.
Newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We will always be here for you.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Service.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12? June? Are you on, June?
Nope, I don't know how to get on.
We hear you.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you could hear me.
We just can't see you, though.
But okay, I'd like to read my reading.
Go ahead. June, you can go ahead and read the excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12.
Yes. I'm just pulling it up. I'm sorry. I didn't know I could be heard, and I didn't know I'd be able to read.
Okay, great.
When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten. Lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten food beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite controls. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on all our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled and our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, and then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth, while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Many of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in the feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. Pass.
June, I think there might be a little bit more to read on that, or do you not have that?
No, I don't.
Okay, thanks, June.
Thanks.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Patrick, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with food, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery.
Thanks, Patrick. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
Hello. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we've set out are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. With that, I pass.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Tamara. Mm-hmm. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program? Go ahead, Kristen.
Hey, hi, I'm Kristen, a critical level food addict. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Yes? Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority of a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thanks, Kirsten. Thanks, Kirsten. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used. That's what it says. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be our timekeeper?
Yep.
Thanks, Mary. And virtual participants will receive their timing prompts via chat. Abstinence plan of eating.
Good evening, friends. I'm Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, everybody. Abstinence plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves, and they commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing and how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. 1, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our problem and our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. 2, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. 3, we weigh and measure all our portions so there's no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. I have with me my scale. Here it is. Here's my wonderful digital scale. It's so thin that I'm able to use it day and night, even when I travel. I also sometimes use cups like this, magical cups, and spoons like this, measuring spoons. And I make sure that the top is just even with the top of whatever I'm using to measure with. On the digital scale, when I put my food item on there, I zero it out, and then I get exactly what I need in the indicator here. If it's 4 ounces, I get 4 ounces, not 3.9, not 4.1. And I take this with me as well as extra batteries, just in case the batteries run out. 4, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Unless otherwise advised by a doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. 6, we do not drink alcohol. 7, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is fifth or beyond on the ingredient level. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts, it's the decision to take it. So with string beans, because of that statement, I weigh and measure string beans just because I feel like string beans kind of laugh at me. It's like, it's not the extra string bean, you know? So I just came back from a trip to Europe. I had a wonderful and abstinent trip. This wonderful skinny little scale served me extremely well while I was on this trip. Food is food everywhere. And it's possible to stay abstinent no matter what. That doesn't mean that every meal looked exactly like it does at home, because it doesn't. But there wasn't any moment where I wasn't willing to do whatever it would take to get the food that I needed at that moment. Luckily, my travel companion was also willing to help me out. And in a couple of cases, I just had to commit my food to that person, like when I was on the plane. It's really hard to do anything except commit to the person I'm with. But it is wonderful to feel like I can be abstinent. I don't have to be nervous or afraid. I just surrender my will. Luckily now with our wonderful cell phones and cell phone service and Wi-Fi, it's possible to connect with people all around the world at different times. And so I was able to call somebody in the morning, which is my usual traditional practice, is to call my sponsor in the morning. So I was able to call somebody in the morning because of knowing people in different places around the world who are on time zone closer to mine. So it was totally wonderful. It was wonderful to also to work with different people and to be able to share my program with them, as well as to stay abstinent on a big trip. So with that, I'll pass and keep doing it with you no matter what. Thanks.
Thanks, Caroline. Sponsorship. Virginia, can you unmute?
Sorry. I'm sorry. It took me a while. A little bit techno challenge. This is Virginia from Minnesota.
Hi, Virginia. Welcome.
Hi. Sorry about that. Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who have committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member will may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who've tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. And I found a quote, I'm doing this at the last minute, but with somebody's help. I found a quote in Daily Reflections, which comes from As Bill Sees at page 13 that I like, appropriate for sponsorship. Substituting OA for AA. OA is more than a set of principles. It is a society of compulsive eaters in action. We must carry the message, else we ourselves can wither, and those who haven't been given the truth may die. Unquote. And I reflected that how much I need to be constantly reminded this is not just about me, me, me. It's about we. Like most spiritual truths, therein lies a paradox, because without the we, there would be no me, or at least not the me I want to be. Instead of a bright light, I would be a mere shadow in darkness of my would-be self. I get so much out of sponsoring. I think that axiom of what we give comes back tenfold. I try to stay within the boundaries of being a sponsor, and if it gets into too much nutrition expertise, I refer my sponsee to their nutritionist. I try not to play therapist. We had a group conscience at our meeting once talking about the boundaries that are needful to stay within as sponsors. And there's some variation, of course, as individuals, one to another. But my guidelines are I try to stick to the basics that we say when we're having our meeting and we talk in front of the room and say, this is the line we're all standing together on. I try to be present to my sponsee and listen. And usually they tell me what they need, and I try the best of my ability to respond, but I often refer them to their own fellowship, to the fellowship and to their higher power. In fact, I think that's the best advice. I can offer a suggestion, but I really like to teach them to rely on the broader fellowship and their higher power in the long run. But that'll pass.
Thanks, Virginia. Well, all sponsors How and OA, please join me in sharing the following. How long in OA and how? How long abstinent in OA or how? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Please form a line starting at the microphone and continue behind me. Remote sponsors are invited to share following our line by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera or just turning on your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and see a "you are unmuted by host" screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line and press star and six on your telephone keypad.
Hi there, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years. I have 18 years and 4 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Good evening, Mary G., compulsive overeater. Came to OA in Western Massachusetts in the spring of 2004. We moved to Minnesota in October 2012. My first OA How meeting was on Halloween. Became abstinent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. I came directly to How in May of 2015. My abstinence date's May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds.
Megan.
Hey all, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds twice in this program. I'm a relapse survivor and I've also had an abstinent pregnancy and I pass.
Caroline.
Hi everyone, I'm Caroline, compulsive eater and bulimic. My back-to-back abstinence recommitted dates from September the 6th of 2016. By the grace of God and the power of this fellowship, I'm maintaining a 40-pound weight loss. I'm free from binge purging for more than a decade. Again, Caroline, I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Thanks.
Kirsten.
Hi, I'm Kirsten, a critical level food addict. My abstinence date is June 18th, 2001, and I'm maintaining a 60-pound weight loss.
Melanie.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon. I was first introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in the fall of 1989 and 17 more years before I got abstinent in How, thank God. I have an absence date of actually been absent the entire time, but I returned to How a little over a year ago, and so I have an absence date in How again now of November 5th, 2018. Thanks. Pass.
Lisa.
There we go.
Hello.
Am I there? I'm there. Hi. This is Lisa, a recovering compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon, and I was in regular OA starting in the 1970s, and I came to OA How in the fall of 2015, I believe, and my recommitted abstinence date I was trying to look up, but it was 31 days ago, and I have been maintaining for the last 3.5 years weight that's about 75 pounds down from my top weight. I pass.
Patrick.
Hello, everybody. My name's Patrick. I'm a compulsive overeater. I first came into OA How in August of 2015. My recommitted abstinence date is August of 2018. I've been relieved of 170 pounds and no longer require diabetic medication.
Liz.
Hi, this is Liz A. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. Let's see. Oh, there we are. I started OA in 1982, and I began working the HOW format in May of 2018. My back-to-back abstinence date is 8/8/2019. I've lost 55 pounds, 32 of those in HOW, and I am a sponsor in the two-hour HOW format. Liz A. in Ormond Beach, Florida. Thanks.
Is there anyone else? Any other sponsors online?
Hi, this is Virginia from Minnesota. I started the program in December 2007. My current abstinence back-to-back is June 19th, 2011. I'm down 40, up 30 from a doctor-prescribed goal weight, which means I'm off a 70-pound sling I was on most of my adult life past.
Valerie.
Yes, this is Valerie, a grateful member of HOW from Iowa. Came into OA in the early 90s, didn't think it was for me, left. Came back to HOW August 3rd, which was my birthday of 2005. I say what a gift it's been. I started the program the next day, August 4th, 2005 is my back-to-back abstinence date. I'm down around 95 pounds in HOW and around 105 pounds for my highest weight and been on maintenance for almost 13 years. Thanks, Valerie from Iowa.
June.
June?
Yeah?
Would you like to announce yourself on the sponsor line?
No, I would not at this time.
Are there any other sponsors that would like to announce themselves on the phone? Oh, there's Kelly.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Kelly Compulsive. Sorry, we're having tech issues for later. Compulsive overeater from California. I came to OA in 2013, HOW in October of 2018. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 27th, 2019, and I'm maintaining 70-pound weight loss. I do have a sponsee opening. I'm in California, Pacific Standard Time. My number is 909-730-9045. That's for a female newcomer. And feel free to text me first to arrange a time to talk. Thank you.
Any other sponsors? Last call for sponsors. Okay, I think that's all. Thank you, everyone. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark him, her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we've been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hey all, it's Megan again.
Anonymity.
Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may, in effect, help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our stories will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come in to OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. And I was thinking a lot about anonymity this week. Been going through some really challenging times with one of my kids. And I am so grateful for anonymity because I know that I have a safe space to work through my feelings and my fears and everything that's going on. And I don't have to worry about cleaning it up for anyone. I don't have to worry about, you know, oh, I can't say that to somebody. You know, like I don't have to have those thoughts in this room. I have those thoughts with maybe a friend who knows me, but also knows this child, or a family member that I know loves us both, but you know, I'm not gonna be that gut level honest with those people because I fear their reaction. I fear the judgment. I don't want to put them in an awkward position of feeling like they've got to fix it or they've got to help me through it in some way when they really can't. What the gift of anonymity does is it allows me to just put it out there in a really raw way. And the person on the other end most likely will just say something like, that sounds really hard. Or, you know, I'm sorry you're going through that. In this room, we know, and you know when I call you, that you don't have to fix it. You don't have to have the answer. That you're just there as a sounding board and somebody who works a program and who says, you know, maybe how can you take care of yourself in this? Or, you know, is there something, what's the next right action? You know, so someone who helps me to apply the steps to the situation or maybe just gives me a sounding board. And that's been invaluable to me at this point because that's a really hard thing to find in life. And the anonymity of this program gives us this precious gift of a place where when we just really need to be raw and honest, we can do it without worrying about hurting those in our lives or it getting back to somebody in our lives. And I think my time is about up. I really appreciate y'all listening and allowing me to be of service this evening. And I pass.
Thanks, Megan. Telephone calls.
Patrick, compulsive overeater. Telephone
call. Hi, Patrick.
Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process is a tool by which we can learn, by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. I am currently on a 5-week road trip. I'm sitting in a hotel room in El Paso, Texas, and I have to tell you that the telephone calls have been critical to allowing me to do this. You know, through the power of technology and Bluetooth, I've been able to take calls while I drive. There's some long stretches of highway in Texas that are pretty open and not a lot of traffic. And I took 4 or 5 calls today, and it was just great because it keeps me connected to the idea that even when I'm out here experiencing all this freedom, I have to be accountable. When I arrived at the hotel, I made 2 calls just to be active on that side of it and to be of service to other people. And of course, I've been able to stay in touch with my sponsor. I just found the conversation, you know, the interesting thing is people are like, oh, what a great adventure. Tell me where you're going and why you're going. And so being able to share that part of my life with people has just been really great. You know, I'm just, without the telephone, without all of these tools, I'm not doing this because I'm at home at 385 pounds dying of type 2 diabetes, not out here having the adventure of a lifetime like I am. So I'm really grateful for the telephone. It allows me to stay connected to you guys, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Patrick. Meetings.
Hi, everyone. This is Liz A. in Ormond Beach, Florida. Grateful compulsive overeater.
Hi, Liz.
Thanks. All right. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who have come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share their experience, strength, and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least 1 HOW meeting a week. I think it's there's more to that, but I don't have it. So hopefully that was the end of that reading. Yes, fellowship is the basis. This is where newcomers come to hear the hope in the sponsor line. Meetings are where I'm reminded where I've been and where I could go. It's where I hear the peer promises of the program. We celebrate milestones together, like step-ups and anniversaries and medallions. And my first sponsor told me to get to a home meeting and volunteer there, do service, you know, just doing readings at first, then pitching on the tools or other service positions like moderator or speaker seeker. And I was afraid at first. I would have a panic attack just announcing my name. And of course, with this wonderful Zoom meeting, I had to remember to put my eyebrows on. But now I'm afraid not to get on the meeting and do service because it's what keeps me abstinent. We pass on what we've been given. And I was going to just read something from A Vision for You, if I could pull it up.
and it's from page 153. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. And without this meeting and all the service that everyone there in Minnesota is doing in the room, and everyone that's calling in to make this meeting happen, we wouldn't be recovering together. So I'm just very grateful to be a participant in this meeting. And I think that's all I have. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Liz. Literature and writing.
Hi, this is Lisa, a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. Literature and writing. Hi. Oops. No, there we go. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, which I have a little miniature version of for traveling, referred to as the Big Book and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, also a mini version, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive overeating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is not often revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So, talking about how we use this tool. Whoop. Well, okay, I see Patrick instead of myself, but I'll just assume that you see me. You know, I have these little travel books because I do a lot of traveling. And they're very handy. And so I can always have my literature with me pretty much in my carry-on. And my experience with literature in this program is that it doesn't matter how many times I have read the Big Book, I can still find stuff in it that I didn't read the last time. And I, you know, they haven't changed the first 160 whatever pages at all since the first edition. So I know that it's the same stuff. But because I am changing and I am learning new stuff, I periodically find new stuff in here. And sometimes it's in the stories, but sometimes it's even in the first few chapters and how it works. And there are parts in this book that I could recite to you because they are so meaningful to me. I always love reading how it works. And there are other parts of this book that I know I can turn to for guidance and for comfort. As far as writing goes, I have actually found reading and writing probably to be the most powerful tool for me in this program. And I think, well, I know why, because I would love to say that I've become completely honest in this program, and I have not. And I, I used to be pretty cash register honest. I pay the right amount of taxes and I return the change if I get the wrong change at the store. But before I got here, I lied about food all day, every day to anyone and everyone, and especially myself. And it took me a number of months in the beginning of this program to actually be honest with my sponsor consistently. And as embarrassing as it is to admit, there are still times when I think about omitting information, or I don't want to talk about something that's going on in my life that makes me uncomfortable. And it has happened more than once that I'm doing my writing and, you know, for example, the reading whenever I am having a problem with this always turns out to be on honesty, or that's some aspect of it. And so when I write about the reading each day, I end up saying, and I need to talk to either my sponsor about this or somebody else about this. And so it's a tool that, you know, it not only helps me think about my reactions to life, it helps me figure out sometimes what's actually going on. Sometimes I don't even know what feeling is underneath what's going on. And as I write about it, suddenly it becomes clear to me. But as I said, it's also been a tool for helping me develop more honesty, because once I've put something down on paper, I know I'm going to read it to my sponsor. And so that's really been useful for me. And I am so grateful for this tool. And I know my sponsor, when I started out in this program, told me to handwrite my writing. And I think that was a useful thing for me to do it, even though I don't like writing by hand. There's something about how it connects with my brain that, you know, I don't think I'm writing a term paper or something. I know that I'm writing something important, something that is going to continue to change my life. Thanks very much. Lisa in Portland, Oregon.
Thanks, Lisa. Service. Howard will be doing service for us.
Hi. I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Howard.
Hi, thank you. Hearing the message of the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship, and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer, adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting where chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole, are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion, for this I am responsible. So I've said this before, I've been doing a little bit of service to this fellowship every day for the last 33 years. And coincidentally, I've been abstinent for the last 33 years. I did not go voluntarily in this. I remember the first time someone called me to do service, they called and say, "Hey, Howard, could you work the registration table at the convention?" And I was, "Well, I don't know how to do that." And they said, "Well, we'll show you. It's not that hard. There'll be other people there." I said, "Well, you know, I wasn't really even planning on going to the convention." And she said, "Well, you know, it's like the highlight of the year for me. I just love it. I never miss it." I said, "Well, I don't know where it is." And they said, "Well, you know, would you like me to pick you up?" I said, "No, that's okay. I think I can find it." And I said yes, just to kind of get her off the phone. I went. It got me to the convention. I had a good time. It was fun to be there and just see people as they're coming in, and they're happy to be there. And, you know, that just kind of set the stage for me. And it got me out of myself. And it was a critical piece of why I'm still here and why so many people, I think, are not here. I mean, you can imagine I've met thousands of people over these decades. And I could probably count on two hands those that I, you know, met in the early days who are still here. And I do think that service is really something that has kept me grounded. And doing, you know, and then signing up the next year for the convention and knowing ahead of time that I was going to be at the convention next year helping out and being abstinent. And it gave me something to focus on. And so service has been kind of this anchor, this foundation for me, that I know if I just keep doing service, I'm going to keep being abstinent. And it's just been something that is really critical to my program. And they knew this. I mean, they knew this back in the day. You know, they almost immediately had people going answering the phone or going visiting people, doing 12-step calls, I knew that, you know, just to get engaged, just to be involved, was just really important to, and as a foundation, it's like, it's a spiritual principle. You know, I follow the spirituality in the big book, and one of those spiritual principles is that, is to do service. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Howard. Well, people doing service for OA at any level, please stand and applaud service. And that would be all of us just by being present tonight. Yay, service. If you've not yet added your information, to the chat for the We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add it to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulating until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Enter your email in the chat to receive the list. Is there anyone who has not yet signed the We Care book? Looks like we're good here in the room. The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us today for the first time in the meeting room, will you please stand and introduce yourself by first name only? And everyone here in the room has already been here before. But if you are attending for the first time virtually, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone's keypad. So is there anyone new on the online meeting or on the phone that would like to introduce themselves?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is June. I would like to leave my name and number. I am fairly new.
Welcome, June.
Phone number, area code 424-224-0277 Eastern Time.
Thanks, June. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you.
Sorry, I'm emotional. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, is it Corey?
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Corey.
Hi, I'm Corey. I strayed from the program about 3 months ago. And this is my first online meeting. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Corey, could you leave your number?
My number is 317-500-8802, and I am wearing clothes. It just happens to not have straps on it.
Could you give your number again, Corey?
Yes, it's 317-500-8802, and I'll leave it in the chat.
Thank you. Welcome again, Corey.
This is Valerie. And this is... Hello?
Hi, Valerie.
Oh, I don't know how to run this very good. Sorry about that. This is my first online meeting. And my telephone number is 641-745-7268. I'm from Iowa Central Time.
Welcome, Valerie. Is there anyone else that is attending for the first time? Joanna, welcome, Joanna. Is there anyone else that's attending, joining us for the first time tonight? No, well, welcome everyone that is joining us for the first time, as well as everyone else that's returning. May we please have a treasurer's report? And I don't believe we have one tonight. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those here in the room and those joining virtually. You may go to mnhowlive.org to donate. We've got some bad news for you. It was bad news for us, and it will probably be bad news for you too. Whether you quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take the first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just like you have in the past. You are a compulsive eater. And that's from the Big Book, page 187. Are there any announcements here in the room or virtually? I guess. So I have an announcement here. This is Sheila, compulsive overeater. First of all, for those in the room, I have printed out handouts of the Expressions of Unity, the December newsletter put out by Unity Intergroup. For those of you that are virtual, you can access this newsletter via the Unity Intergroup website, which is overeaters.org. And then I also want to make an announcement about an upcoming workshop in January. It's a workshop taking place here in Minnesota, in Anoka, Minnesota. It's called Tools of the Trade, What Abstinence Work Looks Like. And it's on Saturday, January 25th. You can actually register online for that at overeaters.org. And there's also some additional information about that workshop. But it's really about practical and tactical approaches to abstinent living. And I think I have two announcements yet. For those kind of in the Minnesota area, as part of Unity Intergroup, in January, we will be having elections again for the new board for Unity Intergroup. And if anyone is interested in running for any of the board positions, which would be president, vice president, secretary, or treasurer, just really encourage you to come to the January intergroup meeting. It's the second Saturday in January at Sumner Library in Minneapolis, and it's at 12:30 on that Saturday afternoon. And then last, I think as many of us know, next Tuesday is December 24th, Christmas Eve, and the following Tuesday, December 31st, is New Year's Eve. And at this point, we do not have either a leader or a speaker for those two meetings. At the minimum, it would be critical that we have a leader for each of those meetings in order to actually have a meeting. So if there is anyone that is willing to offer to be the leader, do we have a speaker now? Okay, so it sounds like we have a possible speaker, but we certainly need a leader to have the meeting. So if anybody is willing to kind of step up to lead the meeting on December 24th or 31st, that would be much appreciated. And with that, I will pass. Are there any announcements virtually?
Hey all, this is Megan. Sheila, to confirm, we do have somebody who's willing to speak on the 24th. I did not find someone to speak on the 31st yet, so that's what I would put out there too, is if anybody is willing to speak on the 31st. We are still looking for that person to kind of have them in the wings, assuming we get a leader, because I know without a leader, then it doesn't, it's kind of up in the air. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Megan. Any other announcements? Oh, Caroline. Hi.
It's Caroline. Sorry, I got in bed and not realized that I wanted to make an announcement. So just ignore my pillow. Caroline, compulsive eater and bulimic in Ohio. On January 11th, Ohio housesters are going to have a face-to-face meetup in Delaware. And we welcome anybody who is willing to drive over to Delaware, Ohio. That is Delaware, Ohio, which is right in the middle of the state of Ohio. But not that far from Indiana or Pennsylvania even. So just wanted to pass that on. Anybody who wants to get information about it, well, you're welcome to contact me. I put my name and number in the chat. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Caroline. Okay, step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. Portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HAL meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers. Remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups tonight? Hi. Yes, Jane. Okay.
Whoa. How are you?
Sure. Hold on. We're getting the candles together. I'll just hold this part. Okay. Jane. OA offers each of us a wonderful opportunity to develop and hasten an attitude change known as ego reduction. The use of these principles of weighing and measuring, phone calls, reporting to sponsors, and attending meetings all combine to reinforce our growth in OA. Action is the magic word. Until we so humble ourselves through these acts, there is no evidence of our ego reduction or our surrender to anyone or anything outside of ourselves. Each candle signifies a step toward arresting the progression of our disease. The first two represent truth and reality. Without these two qualities, we would not be recovering compulsive eaters.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Candle of truth. The candle of truth is a keynote of all who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive overeating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Its attainment brings the satisfaction of inward peace. We must fearlessly face the truth to avoid that ever-present pitfall of self-deception.
There we go. Congratulations, Jane.
Thank you.
Candle of reality. This is the candle of reality, and it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds a promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes beyond fantasy, and it holds the dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows.
Candle of Surrender. This is the Candle of Surrender. In OA, surrender is the first and most important act necessary to launching you into the other steps. Without the surrender of your food, your ego, and your will, all else is hopeless. When you surrender, you suspend such negative emotions as disbelief and grandiosity, and you open yourself up to the process of learning who you are and where you fit into the scheme of things.
Jane, this is the candle of acceptance. Without acceptance, you could not have come this far. Acceptance is seeing things as they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything, and now we must open up our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God and accept that only He can restore us to sanity.
This is a candle of knowledge, and it opens the door wide. We now know that God is on our side. We can see hear His pronouncements in our lives. We recognize what it is that we may do and what only He can do. We acknowledge that the greatest gift He has given us is knowing ourselves.
Even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not expect another sufferer to pay him or even love him. And then he discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward, whether others have received anything or not. His own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning. And he senses that he stands at the edge of new mysteries, joys, and experiences of which he had never even dreamed. Practically every OA member declares that no satisfaction has been deeper and no joy greater than in a 12th step job well done. To watch the eyes of men and women with wonder as they move from darkness into light, to see their lives quickly fill with new purpose and meaning, to see whole families reassembled, to see the compulsive eater outcast received back into his community in full citizenship, and above all, to watch these people awaken to the presence of loving God in their lives. These things are the substance of what we receive as we carry the message to the next compulsive eater. And Jane, on behalf of the meeting, we would like to present to you a virtual cactus plant.
Thank you.
And just as a reminder, what that cactus plant signifies is to stick with the stickers, drink your water, and don't water down the program. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yay. Thank you. Yay, thanks.
Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to come to the front of the room for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries? Not tonight. Okay. Virtual attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. And the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. And I guess that's me. Okay, so I'm still Sheila, still a compulsive overeater. Hello. So a couple of days ago, or actually over the weekend, I got the little email reminder that said, Sheila, you've signed up to be a leader for Tuesday night's meeting. And the first thing that went through my mind was, why did I sign up to be the leader? Or what was going on in my head when I signed up to be the leader this week? And, you know, I just have a lot going on right now. So why did I sign up to be the leader? A couple of weeks ago, my young adult son suddenly got sick, had a last minute surgery. Last week, I had car problems, needed to have the radiator replaced in my car. And this was on one of the coldest nights that we've experienced so far in December. It was sub-zero temperatures. This week, my daughter is, high school age daughter, is stressed out about school. It's the last week before winter break, and she has all kinds of tests this week before winter break starts, so dealing with that stress at home. I still have Christmas gifts that need to be bought. Needless to say, I have all of my gifts that still need to be wrapped. I have a package that I actually need to package up and get to the post office and get mailed yet in hopes that it will arrive before Christmas. On top of all that, that same adult, young adult son is begging me and trying to bribe me to allow him to move back home. I have a big work deadline that's for a project that I've been working on that's actually due this Friday. And then on top of that, there's all kinds of holiday events going on at work this week, starting with a happy hour appreciation event that was last night and an appreciation luncheon today and a department potluck tomorrow. I don't even know what Thursday and Friday brings yet. And then next week, I have two full days with family. And then on top of that, I offered, well, I didn't really offer, I guess I was asked by my sister if I would be willing to take a day off of work next week to babysit my two nieces, ages 1.5 and 3.5, so that her and my brother-in-law can work because they don't have enough PTO time to cover while they don't have daycare next week. Those are just some of the things that came to my mind when I'm like, why in the world did I sign up to lead this meeting tonight? My hunch is that there's probably one of you might be able to relate to just a little bit of that, might have some of that same or similar craziness going on in your life right now, this week, or maybe last week, or next week, or who knows. And you know, and I know for me, some of this is because I do celebrate Christmas, but I know there's lots of other holidays going on. There's Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and New Year's. And I think just in general, this time of year, kind of being at the end of the year, even if you don't celebrate any holidays, you probably are feeling some of that craziness as well. Well, these are all of the exact reasons why I signed up to be the leader a few weeks ago for this meeting tonight, because I knew that this would be a crazy week for me. So why not just add one more thing to my list this week? But in all honesty, I signed up to be the leader for tonight's meeting because I needed to do it for me. Not really to be of, well, I guess I'm kind of being of service by leading the meeting, but that really isn't why I signed up to do it. I needed to do it because I needed to be here tonight. I needed to be grounded and centered in my program throughout all of this craziness. Thanks, Mary. Really, my program needs to be the most important thing in my life. And without the program being the most important thing in my life, all of that other crazy stuff that I have going on would kind of become the most important, and that is not good. Without my program, I'm really nothing. The list that I rattled off in the past would have sent me on a rampage. I would have been eating like a maniac, which then would have caused me to be resentful. I would be hurtful to people and maybe things that I would do or say. I would be distracted and not present in any of those opportunities for relationship that existed. I would not be sleeping well. I would be nervous, anxious, tearful, and the list goes on and on. But instead, because I try to put my program first, I get to experience an amazing amount of gifts. And when I thought about all that craziness that I had just rambled off to you, each of those things offers me a wonderful gift. I think one of the biggest gifts that I got out of all of that is the gift of gratitude. My son recovered quickly and easily from his sickness and his kind of last minute surgery that he had. I was grateful that my job was flexible, that I could be there to help him out. I'm very grateful that that new radiator I needed in my car was covered under warranty and I only needed to pay a $100 deductible. I'm grateful that I have the resources to buy the gifts that I want for my family and friends, and that that I have loved ones that I get to send gifts to. I also have received the gift of boundary setting. Thinking about boundary setting with my son, and I've been practicing setting boundaries with him, and what I find is that when I set the boundary and stick to that boundary, I don't form any resentments. So I'm kind of resentment-free when I stick to those boundaries. I've also received the gift of joy through that whole list of things. I get to spend an entire day with my 1 and 3-year-old nieces. And I actually haven't received that joy yet because that isn't until next week that I get to spend the time with him. But my 3-year-old niece, I'm just waiting for her to say, she says it every time I see her or even talk to her on the phone, she says, "Auntie Sheila, I love you so much." And if that isn't enough to bring you joy, I don't know what is. I'm grateful that I have a job with great benefits. I have tons of PTO time, so I can easily take a day of PTO to be of service to my sister and brother-in-law since they have limited PTO time from work. Just grateful that I have a family that I get to spend 2 full days with next week. I love them and they love me. There's many people that don't have families to spend time with over the holidays. I do. I'm grateful that I have those deadlines at work because that means that I have a job and that I get a paycheck. And what about those 3 food events that I had going on this week? What's the gift there? I had to think hard about that. Thank you. But one of those was an event that took place after work yesterday, kind of a happy hour event. And when I thought about it, the gift that I received from that event was just the ability to be present. I got to sit next to my boss's boss and had a wonderful personal conversation with him. I was focused on being present and not about the hors d'oeuvres that were on the table behind me. Today, through a luncheon that we had at work, I sat at a table with one of my company's senior vice presidents, kind of a bigwig, I would call him. He started to talk and share with those of us at the table that he recently had to kick out his young adult son from their home. I was shocked because I thought bigwigs had perfect children, perfect adult children, especially since I'm dealing with some challenges with my adult child. It just made me feel not so alone, even though he is a bigwig in my company. We are all equal. And then I have a food event tomorrow. I don't know what that gift will be, but at this point I'm going to say I have the gift of confidence because I am confident that with my higher power's help that I will be able to remain abstinent tomorrow again through another food event at work. And I am out of time, and so with that, I will pass. Next, I would like to introduce our guest speaker, Kelly F., who qualifies for 20 minutes.
can't hear you, Kelly. Unmute.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Howard, you can hear me?
Yep.
Okay, we practiced last night on my laptop, and of course, that's not working. But I have an ASL name, Kelly. So hello from California, and thank you for asking me to be the leader. I never think I can talk for 20 minutes straight, but I know before I know it, it's going to be buzzing. So I'll just talk about what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. My OA sponsor used to say, when you pitch, say your numbers. People want to hear that. So I also want to show some pictures as well, but let's see. I'm 45. I'm 5'8". I have 2 kids and 3 dogs, and without fail, someone will walk through that door in the next 20 minutes. And my top weight was 220, 240 when I was pregnant with my son. My yo-yo diet weight was around 180, and my driver's license weight that I lied about for over 20 years was 150. Here are some pictures. Okay, we practiced that. So here I am. This is not my heaviest because I did not take pictures or exist at my heaviest. So this must have been on one of my diets coming down. And I was showing a fellow last night, and she's like, "Why do you look so miserable in these pictures?" And I'm like, "Because I was. This is in the disease. And full addict in full blown disease. I want what I want, what I want it." And then there's one too as well. So I am a professional yo-yo dieter, and coming to program, I think that I got some hit off of dieting and some hit off of being able to binge anything I wanted. So I've been in the same industry for work for 14 years, and I have a conference every year. And there's two reactions when people see me. It's either, "Oh my gosh, Kelly, you've lost so much weight," or it's, "Hi," because they, you know, I'm up 60 pounds in a year easily. So that constant weight loss, weight gain took a toll on me. They say by the time we come to program, we've spent thousands of dollars on our disease. And I wrote down everything I spent my money on. Well, for sure, food, phentermine, Slim Fast, 20 years in Weight Watchers, never getting to goal weight, and then a tummy tuck that I thought I had arrived, and I'd never gained weight after, and I gained 70 pounds after that. So I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on my disease before coming to OA. And when my friends say, "How much do you pay for this OA?" You know, in our local meetings, a basket passed around and you put in a few bucks, and it's priceless recovery. So when I came, to OA, from a therapist. I was depressed. I couldn't stop eating. The elephant in the room was the food. I thought, you know, my life was unmanageable, which it was, but I never thought that it was because of the food. A psychiatrist actually said, "Why don't you eat vegetables when you're hungry?" And that wasn't my problem. So a therapist lovingly suggested Overeaters Anonymous. And because she knew I wasn't going to do it, she said, "I want you to go to 2 meetings before I see you." So I looked up Overeaters Anonymous. I'd been one time in high school and left. And so I went to my first OA meeting and was completely confused and lost. I went to a second meeting, and everyone was talking about abstinence. And they said, "Are there any newcomers here?" And I didn't raise my hand. But the funniest thing is that is a very small meeting, and everyone knew that I was a newcomer. I heard everyone talk about abstinence, and I said, "What is abstinence?" And the lady next to me said, "If you are, did you get your newcomer packet?" And I said, "Yes." And she's like, "It's in there," but I was still lost. And then I came to my third meeting, and this beautiful woman walked in dressed head to the toe, weight off, right? Because that's what I was looking for. I came for the vanity. Now I'm here for the sanity. And she was drinking a Starbucks. And I remember thinking, if you can have Starbucks, I can do this program. And that was the first meeting where I heard my story. These women lovingly shared what they did with food. And it was shoving it in their pockets,
hiding their eating. I don't know, all the stories that I lived in shame about. I finally felt like I'd found my tribe, and they say in the meetings, welcome home. And I truly believed it. And that lady became my sponsor. And in the rooms here, your sponsors are ride or die. They stayed with me for 6 years, and I did away without the big book, not recommended, did not stay abstinent. I had a year and a half relapse. I gained 70 pounds. This was the missing piece in my recovery, was the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I came back after a relapse, I got someone who lovingly read from the big book line by line and explained everything to me. And this book that I didn't understand came alive. And I share the sentiment of another fellow that says, every time I crack this book open, I don't remember any of these stories or these words. This book is so beautifully written. But the first thing I had to get was the doctor's opinion. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart. It has never been by any treatment with which we are familiar permanently eradicated. The only relief we had to suggest was entire abstinence. So boom, there it is. I have to put down the food that triggers me. As a compulsive overeater, I can't stop once I start, and I can't stop from starting again. So the doctor's opinion, when I read it with someone who understood, I got it. The other one was Bill's story. I used to identify out of Bill's story. I was in a male, war veteran, alcoholic. I didn't even relate with that story. And someone suggested I reread Bill's story and ask myself, did I eat like Bill drank? Did I think like Bill thought? Did I act like Bill acted? And when I read Bill's story now, they could call it Kelly's story. That is my story. Bill wanted fame and notoriety. I just wanted to be thin. The messages I got from my parents, both of them growing up, was that thin was everything. I was a chubby kid. I had glasses. I had braces. I was picked on. I had no friends. I spent lunchtimes by myself. It was a lonely world in this disease, and I saw others eat with impunity. I just wanted to eat like everyone else. And the lie was that once I got to a goal weight, which was rare, I would be able to eat like a normal person. And then the weight came back. The disease is cunning, baffling, gets worse, never better. So when I came to how I was in trouble. I didn't pick up the sugar, but I was binging on abstinent food. And I know that's an oxymoron, but nothing was safe for me. I was picking up every food, triggering the allergy with the volume eating, with all the fat. And I was in a hotel in Denver binging, and I left the bag of my binge food outside of the hotel room. And in the morning, I woke up and the bag was still there, and I was mortified because, as evidenced in my entire life, I wanted to binge and have no consequences. I didn't want to see the bag. I didn't want to be reminded that I had eaten that. So when I got a call from my How Ebby, this kind woman called me and talked to me about the How program, and she gave me a list of names, and I interviewed everyone. I wasn't going to start another program. That would just family again. And every story I heard was the same from these women. This program had transformed their lives. Nothing I say is original, but I heard that OA is the last house on the block. And no, OA is the last house on the block. And How is the tent in the backyard of the last house on the block. And How was for people who had flunked OA, which was me. It was me. This was me. This was my place. I called three people a day. I thought that I had, I was never on my phone before How, ever. I was a texter. So when I heard I had to call three people a day, four people with my sponsor, I thought, what an order, I can't go through with it. But I have to be told what to do. And if you tell me I have to make three calls and there's a consequence, somehow I did it. So my first week in How, I slipped and slided. Is that a word? Slipped and slide, slip and slowed. I had a difficult time. It took me 8 months and three sponsors to do those 70 questions. So if that's your story, call me. I'm a slow learner. I had a problem with being honest. So when my first sponsor lovingly let me go because, you know, I wasn't getting this program, I did have a moment of forget how. And I said, but I didn't say it that friendly. And I was like, forget this. I was on a plane and I was like, I'm not ready to give up the fellowship. I've been in here for 7 days. I've called 21 people I never knew in my entire life. And it was the fellowship. There's so many parts of HAL that I love. I'm just watching my time. I love the fellowship. And the big book says, we are people who would normally not mix. But there exists, it gives me chills, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding, which is indescribably wonderful. We are like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck. When camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. That gives me chills just reading of, you know, not being alone in this disease anymore and, you know, reframing everything I have to do and how. Why do I have to call people? Why do I get to call three people? Why do three people take my call? Why do I have these numbers of these people to share this journey with? You know, feeling alone and shame and isolated and beaten down and suffocated by this disease. And now I have a fellowship of these amazing people. Thank you, Sheila, for sharing about your difficult time. I've had the worst year professionally and personally of my entire life this year. Ironically, it's when I came to HAL. So I had to feel all the feelings, stone cold sober, no food. And I'm eternally grateful that I'm still abstinent today. I couldn't do it alone. That's why I love that we can't isolate and we have to make the calls. And it seemed silly when I got out of the hospital for one of the incidences that I had to weigh and measure my food and call it in. I thought, I kind of get a house sick day. Like, my sponsor's not going to have me do all this. But the disease doesn't take a vacation, and neither does my recovery. So I have to be just as vigilant. Even when I'm home feeling depressed watching Netflix, I still have to do all my tools. And thank God I have this program to do it. So what happened? I was out of ideas. I've heard hit the wall, turn left. That was me. And I've also heard that the doors of OA should be Dutch doors. And I always have to, well, you can see this door here. A Dutch door would be if that door was cut in half and the top opens and the bottom opens. And they say the doors of OA should be Dutch doors because if you don't crawl in on your knees, you will walk out. And my story for being in OA since 2013 has been walking in and walking out, relapse, recovery. As I mentioned, I have two kids. They have seen me in the disease. They have seen me in relapse. They have seen me in recovery. I have these two sponges watching everything I do. My daughter does say, "You're on the phone all the time, Mom." So I do try to have boundaries around that. And I said, "But I'm doing all these great things." And she was like, "We'll see, Mom," right? She's 11. And the truth is in how I show up differently in life, which I want to get to in my last 5 minutes. So I was out of ideas. I was scared when everyday foods were triggering me. I didn't want to come to HAL, but I am so glad I did. And, you know, when people talk to me, they say, "You're so energetic." And I say, I talk to people with 10, 20, 30 years back-to-back black and white abstinence, and they have the same enthusiasm. It's a beautiful program. And I thought my year was rough, and I hear people who've made it through more difficult times and they do it abstinently. So it's such a miracle we get to do this together. What is my life like today? Today, I'm at a healthy range of 140 to 145. And I say that because I lied on my driver's license for 150. So when they say come for the vanity, stay for the sanity, my weight is off. I'm at a goal weight, but I will, God willing, not leave this program because what I get from this program, I need God, I need fellowship, I need you guys, I need recovery, It's not about the weight. And when people say weight loss is the least interesting thing about them, it's true for me. My day now starts, I wake up, I pray, I'm working on meditating. I weigh and measure all my food. I call my sponsor. Like I mentioned, I'm 45 and this is the first time, hashtag adulting, that I'm growing up and being an adult. I call my sponsor with an assignment. I read and I do my assignment and I call her on time. And that is showing up in a different way. When I was in OA, I never called my sponsor daily or on time. And she never knew if I was going to talk for an hour or 10 minutes. So I really love that the guidelines, you know, protect both of our times. We have busy lives. I am currently, this is the first time ever I've been black and white back-to-back abstinence. I believe I'm about 9 months, 10 months. I don't try to count that because on my vanity tray up there are all my chips from OA, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And my OA sponsor used to say that she could line the rooms of OA with all of her coins because I kept, you know, binging and coming over. So, you know, when people say, a fellow said they were going to give how a year and I thought, I'm just giving how today, you know. I love the expression, whoever has the most abstinence is whoever woke up earliest this morning. Because we say clay feet, and it is so true. You know, we're not guaranteed this. I love hearing rent is due every day. The ego is rebuilding itself. And that's true for me. The Kelly show, the Kelly ego of selfishness, self-centeredness rebuilds itself. And I get into God in the morning. I physically get on my knees. I do the serenity prayer, the seven-step prayer. I take a moment of silence for those suffering inside and outside the rooms. And I ask God how I can help the man who's still sick because someone did that for me. Oh, that gives me chills. You know, in the reading of Vision for You, it says, ask what you could do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. And all the years I did that, my house wasn't not in order, so I had nothing to give. And now when I ask that, I get an intuitive thought of how can I reach out to a newcomer? How can I be of service to someone else? So someone did that for me, and I like to pay that forward. So if you're struggling or a newcomer, just know people are praying for you. Let me think what else I want to share in the last 2 minutes. That, of course, went faster than I thought. So I pray, meditate. I'm currently doing some amends right now, and I'm doing them abstinently. My program is like whack-a-mole. I put down the sugar and pop, 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 all these things popped up. So thank God I have you guys to work on them with. I love that I can be honest in this program. I have an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old, and that alone I will stay in program because I need to speak honestly about my marriage, about my children, about my job, about everything that goes on, the highs, the lows. The big book says when these crop up, right, all of these feelings, the buildup of human emotions, we have to get rid of them. So it doesn't say if. I thought before I would get to my goal weight and life would be perfect. Someone said that too, but I'm learning life is in session. And it says our purpose is to be of maximum service to God and the people about us in the big book. And I try to show up differently today. I try to see what I can bring to the situation and not take. Someone asked me to share on a how meeting on Christmas Eve and I thought this program has been such a gift to me. Certainly I can repay that. And I love all the service on this meeting. It takes like 20 people. Oh my gosh, the people, Sheila and Howard, they work so hard to get this going. Everyone who does the reading, it truly takes a village. And my disease needs a village. So 40 seconds. Thank you for listening. It was an honor to share tonight. I love when people in house say they're doing it with you because they truly are. So Kelly, Southern California, put my number in the chat and I'm doing it with all you guys. Thank you. Pass.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Kelly. The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing, but we don't have time tonight for pitches. In how meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting tonight. I also thank all of those who participated, especially our speaker, Kelly, who offered so much of herself. Yay, Kelly, thank you. May we please have the reading of just for today.
Hi, everybody. It's Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, sorry. Hi. Just getting it. Okay. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust my life to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, worry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. And just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so will the world give to me.
Thanks, Jane.
Thank you.
I would like to ask for your help in putting away the equipment and bringing this room back to its original setup after we have concluded our closing prayer. Thank you for your help with this. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease.
Thank you.
Thank you. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. Let's have a moment of silence for the still suffering compulsive overeater.
God, grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom
to know the difference.
I will not be done.
Amen.
Amen.
Keep coming back. It works
if you work it. Give a lot of love. Woo! Woo!
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Night.
Welcome, Connie, Corey. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for your service, everyone. See you next week.